Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring available voice-activated sync. Sync gives you versatile access to music, podcasts, and more from just about any device. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android device, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/twit.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 40, recorded on Monday, December 9th, 19th, 2011. It's what in the past and the future. I got this wrong last time. I'm getting it wrong again. This is All About Android, your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell from the future.
And I'm Ron Richards, also in the future.
In the future, we wear the same clothes all the time. Did we make this joke last time? I think we did.
It's possible. But we also recorded this episode last time, too. So
we did.
We've been holding on to it for months and months.
Months and months. That's true. Hey, you know what this week is? It's a feedback episode. It's all about you guys out there.
You get a reply to your email, and you get a reply to your email.
And you do. And Ron,
do we have some sort of intro for feedback? Like, do we get an email? Do we have some sort of animation? No, nothing.
Not that I know of, Ron. Do you know of one that we should use?
Should we just dive right in then?
Let's just dive right in. Yes, you have sent in plenty of feedback for us to answer on the show at aaa@twit.tv. Didn't really have any voicemails to play this time.
Okay.
But you can leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA, and we'll play your voicemail on the show. So do that. But in lieu of that, we've got a bunch of emails to read, starting with Ron.
All right. Well, I didn't write the email. Someone else wrote the email. I'm just reading it. So just so we clarify. That'd be great if I was totally emailing you guys my questions like a legit listener. Hey, Jason, how do I do this?
Anyway, I need your help.
So our first email comes in from Doug from Pennsylvania, who says, I'm a new listener to your show and a new Android user. I just got the Nexus yesterday. I was wondering, what suggestions do you have for apps to help me extend my battery life? I know Ice Cream Sandwich has the kill function, but I did not know if there was something out there that you have used to do so. I have not caught up on back shows, so you might have talked about it in the past. If you have, what episode can I find that in? Thanks. So this is the classic brand new person with an Android phone. How do they save their battery? You're going to want to check out episode 16. And that's at twit.tv/AAA16. That's where we talk about battery savings, right? I don't even remember that episode. That
We had Phil Nickinson of Android Central there.
And
he was like, don't you just plug in your phone when you need to? Because we were going over all these apps, and I don't think any of us really liked any of the apps that we were profiling. We were just kind of like scratching the surface to find something app related for the arena. And in the end, we're like, turn down your brightness. Yeah. Oh, you got extra battery. Careful about GPS and all the different, ways that you would normally.
I think they're the basics, which are turn down your brightness. Don't keep the brightness turned all the way up all the time. Display, especially on the Nexus Prime, I've heard that's been the one thing that kills the battery on the new Nexus more
Galaxy
so than anything. It's a display. Or Galaxy
Nexus,
right?
Prime.
I want to call it the Prime.
I know you do.
You also want to make sure that you're only turning on Wi-Fi and Bluetooth when it's available, when you're actually using it. Don't leave Wi-Fi on or else the phone will always be looking for a Wi-Fi signal.
There are
a bunch of apps that you can use to manage your Wi-Fi connections and maybe have it on when you're in the office, but turn it off when you leave, that sort of thing. So that's something I want to look into as well. But, and just things like, turn that, I keep sync off. Like I only sync when I want to. So, but you can adjust how often apps sync. So like, for example, if you're using Twitter app, you can tell sync it every hour versus every 10 minutes or 5 minutes. You can also turn off system animations to, kind of make things run a little smoother. And then the best advice is to carry an extra battery if you can swap it out.
Notifications too. Notifications can just kind of bog down. If some of these apps have tons of notifications, whether it's when someone follows you, when someone mentions you, when someone DMs you, one app can have about six ways to notify you. Mm-hmm. And I turn almost all of that off. It's just not necessary, really.
And I think the most important thing to remember is that I haven't found there's no one recipe that works for everyone. Like the way I manage my phone is different than the way Eileen does, the way different than Jason does.
Exactly.
We all have different things that we want, different ways that we want to use it, and basically you need to experiment and see, okay, with this kind of recipe, I can get through the day.
Yep.
I'll just go ahead and point this out real quick. If you go into your settings in Android, and I have the Galaxy Nexus here, so this is the ice cream sandwich settings. But if you go in there and go into the battery, it will give you an idea of the things that are pulling the most from your battery, right?
Which is new to ice cream sandwich.
And so. You can get this on phones earlier than ice cream sandwich.
Okay.
You definitely can. It'll show you.
Touch the graph.
Nine times out of ten, it's the screen is the biggest deal here.
Yeah,
the screen is kind of pulling everything. Jeez. It shows you when your Wi-Fi is pulling. The intervals of your screen. Some of this is new to Ice Cream Sandwich, but seeing those percentages that we were on the last screen, I know is on the older versions. But that's a really great place to start right there. I mean, this should tell you if 50% of your battery is being depleted because of your screen, then auto brightness might help you out. Dialing it down manually, keeping it on as low as possible and only ramping it up when you absolutely need to might even be better than auto brightness, because sometimes I use auto brightness and I still feel like it's too bright. Although in the case of the Galaxy Nexus, sometimes I feel like it's too dark. But for battery, consumption, that's actually a good thing. And for me, really, the sync intervals is a big deal. Yeah. Just because every app that you install that's a social network that's pulling in updates and everything, I mean, every time it's checking every 5 minutes to pull in all of this data and, then, like you said, notify you with your blinking LED light, all that stuff, the more it's happening, obviously, the faster your battery is going to deplete. So dial it down to something that's a little more reasonable. So, cool. All right. Well, let's move on to the next one here. Paul Werner wrote in to say, let's see here. If you have an app on one market, you back it up with Titanium Backup, uninstall the app, and then install it from another market, can you carry its data to the newly installed app from the second market using Titanium? Now, Titanium Backup, I believe, requires root. So you're talking about, root access here, but it's a really powerful backup software. We've talked about it in a previous episode. It allows you to back up not only the app, but the data associated with the app and restore all those things individually. I didn't really know the answer to this right off the bat, so I went to the trusty Google Plus folks and put a call out to everybody and had a lot of pretty good responses. And I think the kind of general thought here is that as long as the package name that the app is named is the same, then the data should transfer over, because I believe Titanium Backup's going to see app.apk to be the same as app.apk, even if they were pulled from different markets. In my head, I thought that might still be tricky, because isn't it true that if an app is posted in one market versus another, there might be some differences to the app, or are they all the same?
They're the same, but I think it's the updates that could possibly be different, because one developer may not be updating on GetJar as fast as they're doing on Android Market, which is definitely the case.
Yeah,
because the thing is that that's the one thing with updates is that Android apps don't have is they don't have not some of them do actually Swipe just installed this, but they don't have auto updating from what's inside the app.
Yeah.
So what's happening is that the marketplace that you downloaded is keeping track, saying, okay, you installed these apps, there's an update. We're telling you to go download the update, versus the app saying, hey, I have an update, go get it. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was interesting, because the new version of Swipe does have an auto update inside of it. Like, I got a notification saying, hey, there's an update from within inside the app, and you download it inside the app. So I'm wondering if that's maybe a future direction that app updating will go. It'll disengage from the marketplace and be managed from within the app, which is kind of smarter when you think about it.
Yeah.
But that's a totally tangent. So, yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like it is possible. And if you haven't heard of Titanium Backup and you have a rooted phone, you should definitely check it out. It's very, very kind of the things you can do with it are very detailed. Like I said, restore the app with data, or just restore the data, which I think that's kind of the one you're going to go for here. You've uninstalled this app, you've reinstalled it from the other market. All you're going to restore is the data associated with that app. And as long as those names match, then I would imagine it would be okay. Send us an email, aa@twit.tv, and let us know if it worked for you.
So I have a question for you now that we're talking about Titanium Backup. Are you going to root your Nexus ever,
I think? Yeah, I probably will.
You will?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you probably want to use Titanium Backup or something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that there are apps that you can get for a rooted device that
you can.
Are compelling enough for me to want to root for sure.
Okay.
I'm waiting a little bit, though. I don't want to jump right into it, especially for the fact that I've been playing with a lot of test phones.
Yeah.
So I haven't been in the root world for a while, and so I'm not missing it. Like, I miss it, but I don't feel the need to like rush right back into rooting the phone. But yeah,
I just think with a Google experience, you don't necessarily have to unless there's that one killer app. And maybe that's
totally.
Titanium Backup for you. I won't if I buy it, which I don't know if I will. I probably won't because I can't afford it right now. I don't know. I like having just the plain experience.
Yeah.
What about you, Ron? Or I don't want to say plain. I'm sorry, the Google experience. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not a rooter. Like we talked about this before. Like yeah. I have never installed Cyanogen. I've never installed any sort of mods because we do so much testing and because we do so much stuff. I really want to replicate what the average user runs into. Mm-hmm. And also just because I don't have the time to bang my head against the counter if I brick it by accident, I have to start over from scratch and some of those
right.
long kind of instructions. Although it is getting easier and easier every day, it seems like. But I just want the stock. Kind of give me what everyone else is doing so that I can have the most common experience in comparison to the audience.
Yeah,
so
well,
that's me.
And keep in mind, like, there's the difference between the rooting and the ROMing. Rooting
right,
is
yes.
just getting root access, and
right.
and
exactly.
that doesn't mean you're changing the UI and everything. I don't know if I would feel compelled to change the UI by loading
yeah.
a different ROM on yet. I certainly don't feel that now, but I would love to root it so that I have access to some apps that I can't.
Exactly.
You know, you get more privileges essentially when you've rooted your phone, and
yeah.
That's a nice thing to have. It's more your phone.
Yeah, I see that it still is kind of more in the hobbyist kind of techie kind of world.
Sure.
You know, I don't really see like my dad doing that.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Well, that said, if I don't get ice cream sandwich on my SGS2 until God knows when, I'm going to root it because I cannot wait to put it on this phone. I'm not going to sit there and wait.
Yeah.
And I don't really get the updates anyways with this phone. I think it's because it's the unlocked version. I don't know. I'm going to have to run CyanogenMod on this thing. I'm
yeah.
pretty sure, almost positive, I'll be behind the keyboard and then pinging Jason on a little hangout. What am I doing wrong, Jason? Why is it not working? But anyways. All right, moving on to the next email. Is it pronounced Miui?
MIUI? MIUI.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never known.
I've always wondered.
MIUI.
MIUI. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
This is from Rob. I do not know, and this is a listener suggestion, and we want suggestions from our listeners and viewers, and this is a good example. I do not know if you have seen this, but the MIUI unlocker is free on the marketplace. Just discovered it after listening to your show and looking for other unlockers or lock apps. Great thing about it is that there are a lot of different theme lock screens you can download in the app. Only downside is not all of the instructions are in English, but still a great app for your audience. Love the show, Rob. Thanks, Rob. I go back and forth on locks. Lock apps, and I've decided I'm not going to use them anymore. But if you are looking for one to customize, this is a good one, and it's free. Look at all the different designs here that you can have. If you're watching the video, there's many different designs of lock screen capabilities. Oh, look, and you can unzip a model. Or is that Lady Gaga? I can't tell. I can't tell who that is. I go back and forth, and finally I've just decided not to use it for me personally because there's certain apps that that have lock screen capabilities that are sort of disabled if I use some of these lock
yeah.
apps. I don't use it anymore.
I've just never really had that great of experience with the lock screens. I know I covered one a couple of weeks ago, and I was using it for quite a while, I believe, on the Razer. But I still had that thing, that weird thing that happens with lock screen replacements, where every once in a while when you turn it on, you end up getting the default lock screen.
Mm-hmm.
You undo that, and then you've got the replacement lock screen to go through. And it's never perfectly seamless. It's always like almost seamless. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's been my problem too, is that there have been some cool, like we looked at Widget Locker and stuff like that, and there have
yeah,
been some cool functionality.
Some really cool ones.
Yeah, and being able to launch apps from the lock screen and things like that or go directly into the camera or whatever. But for me, the integration with the security side of things was never there enough because I don't want anyone else to get into my phone. Like it's
yeah.
one thing to have a lock screen versus another thing to have a combination to get into your phone, which I'm a firm believer of.
Right.
God forbid you lose your phone, and at least it's one step away from people getting into your stuff. But yeah, and then every now and then you've got to turn off the security in the phone, then install the lock app, and it doesn't know. And they don't always play nice. Like you said, sometimes you'll turn it on, you'll get the default one, and it's messy. So
yeah, totally.
But if you like it, UI.
What's the thing? Everybody's different. Yeah, everybody has different needs. And like, hey, if you're a big Transformer fan, you know, you have Optimus Prime locking your phone. That's pretty cool.
Right.
And so, you know, I can't argue that. But I don't know. All right, on to our next email. This comes from Jim Cushman, who says, I was wondering if you all know of any Android apps that work the same as AnchorFree's Hotspot Shield does for my laptop. Thank you for your help. I love the show and the network. And you're welcome, Jim. So the easy answer to this is Hotspot Shield actually has an Android app coming soon, according to their website. So that's a nice answer. So there you go. So
be a little patient.
Yeah, and then you can just download Hotspot Shield from Anchor Free for Android. But if you want to wait a little long, or if you can't wait, you want to do something right now, Tech Republic has a really great list, a great rundown of a ton of options for Android regarding VPN, including Android 2.2's built-in VPN support and Cisco's AnyConnect SSL VPN app and a bunch of other ones. And it's a big, long link that we'll put in the show notes for this episode. So, but if you go to techrepublic.com and look for securely connect your Android via Android smartphone via VPN, you'll find the article. So right. a lot of good information there. So good find on that one.
Cool.
Awesome. Oh, I'm next. Okay. Hey, AAA crew. Marlon, the guy from Trinidad here. I loved your last show, especially as you focus clearly by accident on some great looking apps. Thought it might actually be a nice idea for a segment on your show, and you can get some inspirations from this blog I found the other day after the show called Android Nice.
Niceties.tumblr.com.
Other beautiful apps I use that look great both on a tablet and phone include IMDb, the Kindle app, and the Kobo app. What are your beautiful apps? Have a happy and peaceful holidays. Thank you, Marlon. Appreciate it. Yeah, let's take a look at that blog if you have a minute there to pull that up, Chad.
I think we're finally starting to see a lot more emphasis in apps on design and function.
Absolutely,
in the Android world.
In our last episode, we just saw Facebook and updating the timeline and including the timeline on your mobile experience. And we do agree that that looks beautiful on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Pulse is another great app. I have to say, I really like Google Currents. I don't know about you guys, but
Google Currents is very impressive. You know, very nice to look at. I haven't really spent a whole lot of time with it, though. I've opened it up in lieu of Pulse to try and really kind of spend some time with it and ended up just opening up Pulse. So I need to spend more time with it, I think.
Yeah, here's Google Currents.
It was a little confusing to me the first time I used it.
But I really like it, actually.
Yeah.
And there we are. I put our show right there.
You know, one thing you're seeing, I feel like we're seeing more and more with apps is this kind of trend. Well, maybe it's Google's apps, but I would love to see it in other apps because I think it's kind of becoming somewhat of a nice signature for Google. Is the swipe to the left to right, and you see it in the Google Currents main page. If you go back to the main page, and I guess it is up there too. But if you go up to that image up at the top, swipe left to right, and you see that little blue bar that kind of goes from one page to another, you're seeing that a lot more. You see it in like the Google Plus app to go between streams and things like that. And it's once you do that, it becomes very intuitive and it just kind of looks nice and solid. I'd love to see more developers kind of go down that road potentially with their apps because I mean, we've talked about this in the past. iPhone and iOS really has kind of a unifying feel to its UI, whereas Android, at least up until now, has been very, very all over the place, which is both a good thing and can also be very confusing.
Right.
So some of these things seem to be kind of merging a little bit. More and more developers are kind of integrating these
Path
styles.
Path is really nice.
Yeah. Path is one that's really impressed me recently in terms of the UI. Pixlr-O-Matic is another one that I think is a great UI.
That is one of my favorites.
As well as, I just had it now. I lost it. Yeah. So
I really like News 360 on a tablet.
Yeah.
It's good on a phone, but it's just beautiful on a tablet. Oh, it's really inviting.
Two episodes ago, I thought soundtracking is a really it's really really solid, really strong design. So
those are some of our beautiful apps there, Marlon. I think there are more coming, and I mean it's just the emphasis on font, I think, you know, with Roboto when that came out, when they talked about it at the Google announcement, that was sort of signifying the beginning of, you know, taking a look and seriously looking at design. And I think that's what's happening across. I mean, even Gmail, for God's sakes, on ICS, as I mentioned in the last show, just looks amazing.
So. Mm-hmm. It's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
Well, speaking, this is totally right in line with what we're talking about here. Eric Mooney writes in and says, here's something that's been eating at me ever since I got my Galaxy Tab 8.9. Love the size, by the way. Since day one, I've been a proponent of Google Plus and have done my best to turn people onto it. However, their tablet presence is really bad. It's literally the mobile app, but just wider due to the variable width they have set on their panels. I know this sounds harsh, but if they want to be taken seriously, they need to have a professional look on all of the devices that they're on. I'm just really surprised that they've let it go this long, and as they have. And I was curious to see what your take was on this. I really want Google Plus to succeed, but I'm tired of the subpar experience on my tablet. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting that Google of all companies, you know, is taking a while to update their apps to look, you know, as tablet optimized on a tablet as it looks phone optimized on a phone.
Well, Andy Rubin said himself at Asia that he didn't see the need for an updating the tablet experience versus the phone. He made a comment and totally disagree, because obviously look at all this white space on here. It's kind of
It's interesting because it kind of ties into what's going on a lot with HTML development these days, with kind of HTML5 and kind of reflexive design, where the idea being that now with so many people accessing web pages via tablets or laptops or phones, that there's a way to code a web page so that it is viewable no matter what the device is. And part of that is that making some areas expand and contract dynamically, and then you get, when you're on the widest screen possible, you get what you're seeing here with a ton of white space.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the Facebook app is just like this too. Like the Facebook app has not been optimized. Yeah. And, you know, of course it's serviceable. Of course you can use it to do what you need it to do. But then you look at other apps that are absolutely optimized for the tablet, and you understand, like, why it's beneficial to do that. Like some of these apps, you know, the text is so incredibly small on a tablet.
Yuck.
You know, like just increase it a couple of fonts, you know, point sizes. It's that works on a phone, but it doesn't work on a tablet. It's just a different thing.
Exactly.
And the thing is that you can, especially with Ice Cream Sandwich, and now that it's on one unified platform, and what we saw with the Gingerbread update before, by, you know, being able to stretch a phone app into a tablet app. And so you only have one APK that you manage, only one kind of one dev stack that you need to worry about. Mm-hmm. But given what Facebook's dedication to photos and the news feeds, and especially with the covers and the timeline and stuff like that, don't you think they could make a really beautiful tablet optimized app?
Yeah,
no timeline on the tablet app too, as you could see, because I clearly had that turned on in the last episode.
That's interesting. Well, you know, and of course with Ice Cream Sandwich, all that's about to change, but I, you know, we're waiting for that, and I'm sure at some point this will be a much less of an
issue.
There's
going to be some time before we actually see any results. I think it won't be until like end of Q1, you know, early Q2 next year.
All right, Aline.
Is it me?
Oh, yes.
Sorry, I'm still playing around with tablet apps. Okay. Hello, guys and girls. This is Mark from Holland, and I have a following question. Is it possible that the Android platform resumes a podcast just like on iOS does? I mean, when you pause a podcast and later on you resume, it will play from the last position. I want an Android phone, and this is important for me. I hope you will answer this question, because online, on forums, no one seems to know, I think. I love your podcast. Keep up the great work, Mark. Hey, guess what, Mark? Get Pocket Cast. And that is a preview of my Arena app.
That was my biggest challenge because I moved off of my iPod and I was using Google Music to listen to all my podcasts, and it drove me crazy that I couldn't remember where I was. And then Eileen, based off your recommendation, I moved to Pocket Casts, and now it remembers where you left off.
Yep.
I forgot that we were totally part of their video.
Yep. That's why I chose it. That's hilarious. Part of the reason. No,
we
do love this app.
Video, aren't we?
Yeah, we are video. I love, thank you to the developers, Swifty Jelly. We've had them on the show in the past. There's the answer, Pocket Cast. I will talk more about them later in the show.
And I'm sure there are other podcast apps that allow you to do that.
Same,
I know that I use an audiobook program called Mort Player. I actually featured it in the past. And it absolutely lets you do that. But and they have a music player as well. So maybe their music player does that. I don't know.
And there's also Dog Catcher and Beyond Pod and stuff like that. Yeah, so there are tons of different options. But Pocket Cast is right now the leader, I think. So
for sure. Let's see here. Andy in Chapel Hill, North Carolina says, I've had a really great idea for an app, but I'm clueless as to how I would develop it. Mm. Do you know of anyone who can help? I've looked online, but I'm scared at the websites I've found and that they will just steal my idea. Well, I just thought it was kind of interesting timing that you sent this. Maybe you've found this already, but Google launched an Android training kind of section to their developer's site that you should check out. And it kind of details, gives a lot of information for where to start when it comes to Android. It's just a full-on training resource, designing for multiple screens, improving your layout performance. I'm not a developer myself, so I don't know if this is necessarily enough to get you started or whether it kind of expects, I would imagine it probably expects that you have a little bit of experience or knowledge into the ins and outs of writing code and stuff like that. But it gives a lot of examples of code, and it's certainly a good resource to check out if you're getting into it. As far as like finding sites that'll help you develop an app and won't steal your idea, I honestly have no idea what to tell you there other than to just, you know, find somebody that you trust in the real world outside of the internet or whatever, and, you know, see if you can co-develop an app that way. So I hope that helps. You can find this at developer.android.com/training/index.html. I don't know if that's necessary, but check it out at developer.android.com. And the final one for you, Eileen.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I'm not bringing up the rear here. All right. This is from Tom in La Jolla. Hey, AAAers. Do you have any hints or advice for someone considering buying a used phone? I've been looking at ads on Craigslist and eBay for used HTC Thunderbolts. There are some good prices, but you never really know what you're going to get on those sites. Also, I notice a lot of listings talk about a clean ESN.
Yeah.
Can you explain what this means? If I buy a used phone, do I just take it to the Verizon store and have them switch it over to my account? Thanks for any advice you give. Clean ESN means it hasn't been reported lost or stolen. Mm-hmm. That's what I know. And that's important because you don't want to be a part of something that...
Well, you'll get the phone. It just won't work because once it's reported, they kind of zap the phone and it's not going to work on the network anymore.
Right. I assume now... I remember, I think it was Aaron Newcomb, when he was on the show one time, had said, you know, if you are, you know, one way to get a new phone for relatively inexpensive is to buy a used one. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think it would just be like any other phone where you could get your SIM card at your local, wherever, Verizon store, AT&T, we're talking US here, AT&T, T-Mobile. And if your phone can support that, then that's it. That should work.
Yeah, absolutely. Many episodes ago, Michael Ludden, of HTC, gave me the HTC Rhyme to play with, and I used that for well over a month. And it's the same kind of thing. Like, I very well could have, you know, got that phone on Craigslist. All I really ended up doing with it is going into Verizon saying, hey, I have this phone. I want to connect it with my number, and they were able to work it through. So as long as the phone has a clean ESN, that's the real sticky point. Yeah. I always see postings on eBay that's like bad ESN, and I'm like, what's the buyer going to do with that? Like, what are you going to do with that? Do you know something I don't know?
You can use it for parts. You can take the screen out. I don't know.
Use it for parts. That's probably
what it is. It's kind of like cars. You know, it's kind of like a VIN. You know, like if a VIN gets tagged or stolen or whatever like that, you can't sell it. So
yeah, totally.
The best thing you can do is sell it for parts and that sort of thing. Not that I have any experience stealing cars, but
or phones. Definitely keep your eyes peeled for the clean ESN. And you know, if you're buying from Craigslist, it'd probably be good to go and check it out. Because I guess you're just kind of taking their word for it when they say clean ESN, right?
Yeah. I've never bought a used phone. Have either of you?
No. Nope. No, I thought about it, but no.
Has anybody in the chat room? Let's see if they have. But, chat room's going crazy.
Yes. Tech801 has.
Yes.
Burke has. Burke,
yes.
He's right behind us. Burke is even right behind
us. Burke, did you have a good experience? Say yes or no. Oh,
said Burke did not have a good experience. I'm intrigued now.
Okay. Except for, you've bought a used phone more than, he says he's bought a used phone more than once, and only one time did he not have a... Okay.
Okay. Droid 1 was a positive experience. This is like translation of Burke, who's sitting right behind us.
All right. Thank you, Burke.
It could go either way, apparently. All right. Cool. Thanks, Burke. Okay. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to get back to more of your feedback here. But just really quick, this episode of All Bad Android is brought to you by Ford and Ford Sync with My Ford Touch. Leo actually had a chance to take Ford for a test drive and play with the Sync. Let's see what he had to say.
Hey, everybody. Leo Laporte. I thought we'd take a little ride. We've been talking about the Ford Sync and My Ford Touch for so long, and I've never actually shown you how it works. You know, Ford sent down this new 2012 Ford Focus, not mine to keep, alas, but I would like to show you, as long as I've got it, a little bit about the nav and the services and the app link and all the cool things. Let's get inside, and I'll give you a tour of the 2012 Ford Focus. I'm just going to go for a little ride. Look, see this button? Watch. I got my foot on the brake. You press the button. It's a fob. Keyless. Car starts up. Oh, here we go. I like this, too. When the screen comes on, it says, hello, good morning. You're arriving. You're driving a Ford. All right, let's go here. Yeah, this is nice. This is sweet. Hands on the wheel, eyes on the road. That's the whole idea behind Sync and My Ford Touch. But you hit this paddle right here, and you can do anything. So one of the nice things, of course, about Sync and My Ford Touch is I can connect to a cell phone. I've got my iPhone hooked up here. But not just as a phone. I can make calls with it, of course. But I can also use it as a media device. So watch. I'll play a song here.
Please say a command.
Audio.
Audio. Say a command.
Play artist Steely Dan.
Playing artist Steely Dan.
And now, without doing anything, I've picked an artist. I can do the same thing with podcasts, books on tape, or audiobooks. Anything that's on my devices, I can play. I can even say, let's play the radio. The idea is you can do anything you want with this. You've got a whole media hub, so if you've got a Nano, the kid's Nano, if you've got a phone via USB or Bluetooth, you just talk to it and tell it what you want to hear. Let's give it a try here. This is while I'm driving. USB.
USB.
Play artist Steely Dan. Now that's cool, isn't it? It's little things like that that just make it a pleasure to drive a Ford.
Steely Dan.
Okay, Leo.
Steely Dan. I guess.
What's one of their songs? Peg? Isn't that one of their songs?
I don't know.
I don't even remember.
I can't even remember now. I'm making fun of it. I can't remember one of their songs. But I'm sure if I heard it, I'd make fun of it. Not really. Okay, well, thank you, Leo. And that's Ford.com/technology. Check it out. Check out Sync. It's pretty cool stuff. All right, so we're going to continue on with feedback. Oh, and by the way, Jim Bednar is in the chat room. Loves Steely Dan.
Okay.
Well, just saying.
To each their own. Well, it's a good segue because this is actually our next question. It's a question about music. Tracy M. Brooks writes in and says, thanks for your show. I discovered it 2 weeks ago while doing research on tablets. I'm a PC user who owns an iPhone. My first Android device will be the new Asus Transformer Prime. Can't go wrong with that one. I'm very interested in knowing what approach I can use to leverage my iTunes library of music and videos on the new tablet. What recommendations, if you can, offer? I intend on going through all 34 of your previous shows that contain a wealth of information on apps and other info that have been extremely helpful and bring me up to speed on Android. Thanks again. And Tracy, you come to the right place. Music is definitely an important thing. And I am a user who all my music is stored in iTunes, and I'm an Android user. And the key to that for me is Google Music. When you have Google Music, you can have a little demon that runs in the background that uploads all your music from iTunes, uploads it straight up to the cloud, to Google Music. And then on your Android devices, you can utilize the Google Music app on your Asus Transformer Prime to play your music. If you don't want to use Google Music, or if you don't want to use the cloud or whatever, you can use DoubleTwist, which is a great app that allows you to bridge iTunes and iTunes libraries from your local machine over to a device. And it runs on PC very, very seamlessly, actually. DoubleTwist has been around for a while. And they've got a really pretty good app for the Android devices that you can utilize. Are there any other – am I missing any other ways other than
Well, I mean, Amazon Music already. I mean, there's many, many places. But specifically iTunes, I really think DoubleTwist and syncing wirelessly with AirSync is going to That's
the
your
most analog, straight across kind of comparison.
If you can cut the cord from iTunes, then you might want to look into Spotify or RDO, which are two kind of streaming services, or even Last.fm or Pandora, which are like radio services. But if you truly want to, you know, get your library, your music, it's either Double Twist or Google Music.
Yeah, and I would almost say, just because I love Google Music, and it definitely is a little bit of you got to go out on a limb a little bit at the beginning, because it might take a while to upload your music. But if you're kind of coming into the Android world on a tablet and you haven't tried that service before, it's worth checking out and spending the time doing it. And you might realize that, like, the paradigm that you're used to of syncing music to your device and plugging it in and doing all that stuff that you're so used to doing with iTunes, you might realize that you actually don't miss it when all of your music is in the cloud. And, you know, granted, there are downsides to your music being in the cloud. If you don't have a connectivity, you might not be able to access your music. But I know for me and mobile, that never happens. Like,
well, this
that never happens.
This holiday season,
it always happens to me. I'm always the only person here in the panel that it's like, I always run into a place where I don't have connectivity and I need. And I need a place to listen to it. And I just need some music. And so that's why I put like a couple gigs of music on my phone just in case.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's why with Google Music, you can pin albums or certain playlists to offline listening.
Lots of these services have offline. So that's true.
You can and Google Music pins it as you listen to it. You know,
yeah,
so
exactly.
It stores as cache on your storage as you're listening to an album. So
that's
if it's an album you really like and you've listened to it once from their servers, it's on your phone, on your device, until you listen to a bunch of other stuff more than you've listened to that, and then it pushes it off. So it does a really good job dynamically, without you having to think about it, of storing this music on your device.
For years, I've been jumping between San Francisco and New York, and I always bring my little Western Digital Passport hard drive with all my music on it. And this holiday's trip, I'm in New York for 2 weeks. I didn't bring that hard drive. I'm completely on the cloud, and I'm on my phone.
He cut. I don't know. I'm still one of those people that still like to have some music on my devices. So if you're like me, Tracy,
Hard. It's hard to cut the cord.
It's hard. I can't cut the cord for anything right now. I'm really bad. I'm still connected. But anyways, hope
all right.
Helped.
Let's check this one out here. Skyler writes in, says, I have a dilemma regarding finding the right combination of tech for my grandma to take with her to Arizona. She is a snowboard.
She's a snowbird
for about 3 to 4 months out of the year. She does not have internet in Arizona, but would like to be able to use email and play games. I currently have an Android tablet, the Galaxy Tab 10.1, but I'm not sure if it would be as easy to use as an iPad. By the way, my grandma is 81 years old, but fairly tech savvy. I'm her main tech support, so I'm wanting to get her something that is very low maintenance, as I will not be in Arizona with her. She's currently on a Verizon family plan. She's not sure whether to get her a tablet with data built in or get a Wi-Fi tablet with a MiFi, which kind of sounds like a lot for possible. Well, she's tech savvy, but could be a lot. Since she will only need to use the data 3 to 4 months a year, she'd be able to use her home Wi-Fi in Tacoma the rest of the year. So he's talking emails, games, books, maybe some video chat. And typing on a tablet might be difficult for grandma, but then again, I might want to get her an Android tablet because of the voice to text, which is definitely a good point. And that might be easier for her. I'm just really not sure which path to take. Please help me to decide. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Oh, man.
It's tough. It's the grandma's the X factor.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I mean, I'm hearing that. I'm like, just get a Kindle Fire, get a Nook tablet.
That was my thought, was the Kindle. Yeah, just get the Kindle Fire.
But then video chat doesn't have a camera on either of those. So I'm like, if you really want to do that, I'm not sure. But emails, games, and books, those are a pretty basic tablet, those two tablets that are on there, and then they're cheap.
This might be the one area where I think it might be the iPad might be a good choice, because Apple does make this stuff dead simple. And, you know, if you're concerned about typing on the tablet, you're going to run into the same problem on an iPad versus a Galaxy tab.
It doesn't matter.
It's going to be a bigger problem on a Kindle Fire or a Nook because it's smaller. But the thing is that for any Android tablet or an iPad, you can get an external keyboard. And, you know, you might want to, I mean, I don't know how much you want to spend, but, you know, look at the Asus Transformer with the keyboard and, you know, you get some sort of dock kind of thing and you could do that as well. But with the grandmother, you want to keep it really simple. And I think that's one area that Apple still has the edge on. So, I know while we're all rah-rah Android, iPad might be the better choice, maybe.
There's just no question that the iPad, I would say by and large for the greatest number of people is probably going to be an easier pickup and go experience than Android tablets right now. And granted, we haven't really seen tablets in the ice cream sandwich world really a whole lot yet. We certainly haven't interacted with them at all at this point. Who knows? Maybe ice cream sandwich on a tablet is going to kind of help rewrite our opinion of, you know, how easy an Android tablet is to use for the general consumer, especially, you know, 81-year-old grandma. I don't know. I kind of agree with you, Ron.
This is almost like I would really love if I was a billionaire and had nothing but time and was bored, I would totally commission like a market research kind of, we gave five grandmothers iPads and five grandmothers Android tablets and we, you know, installed cameras in the room and saw how they performed. I would be really curious to see what those results would be like. Because totally. I don't know if it's dead simple yet. That's the problem. I'm not sure.
I don't think it is yet in the honeycomb ice cream sandwich world. But so anyways, I hope that helped, Skylar. And you didn't talk money, so that's why we're throwing that around.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, this one's from email is from Noah. Hello, have any of you come across a photo app that makes it possible to take a picture with a watermark or even take a picture and add it after taking it? I currently use the stock camera vignette, then move over to Pixay Pro to add a text marking. Just wondering. Well, Noah, I did a little search. Didn't take me that long. And there's an app called Add Watermark for $1.99 in the Android marketplace.
Add Watermark. I do not understand what this app does based on the name of the app. I don't get it. I don't understand
what
it does.
He's kidding.
I'm totally kidding. Add Watermark is about as
simple.
Yes.
Now, I haven't used this myself. So it was the quick search, and it seems to be getting really good ratings in the Android marketplace. And it seems like you could put your logo or your property logo, as they say. Huh. Very simple to use, it seems. So let us know if that works for you, Noah.
I wonder on mobile, like, when do I need to add a watermark to my photo on mobile?
Some of these
photographers get really
they get
really hyper about that.
Okay.
He might be a big photographer and needs to have his logo stamped.
I'm not knocking it at all. I just saw this and I was like, I've never once thought I needed to add a watermark to my photos. I wonder what you would do that for.
Do a little JH now.
Yeah.
Next time.
Little JH stamp down at the bottom.
I'm going to start adding a watermark to all my videos. So whenever I'm going to need a Ron watermark.
So download Add Watermark right now.
All right. Let's see here. Tanner writes in and says, I have a question about rooting my phone. I have the Atrix 4G and I rooted it the other day and I used Pete's Motorola root tools to do this. And I was using it for a few days and a friend told me that I had voided my warranty. And so I went back and used Pete's Motorola root tools to unroot my phone. My question is, if I root my phone and need to send it into AT&T, can I unroot it again and not get in trouble from AT&T? Thanks. Keep up the great work. Absolutely.
I put this question in for you.
Oh, did you?
Yes. I did. I was like, this is a Jason question.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I did just this. So I had the Thunderbolt, one of my many phones in the past 4 months. I had the Thunderbolt that I was borrowing from the future from my wife. And I used it for about 3 months. And I had rooted it and I had installed plenty of ROMs on there and everything. Well, it was time to turn it back over to my wife. And she said, you take all that stuff off. I want to, you know, I've used your old Motorola Droid. It's crappy. And I'm pretty positive it's because you rooted it and installed this stuff. And I'm not one to argue. I totally understand it's going to be her phone. So I unrooted it and gave it back to her. It turned out that there had been a long-standing microphone hardware defect on that Thunderbolt. And when I called, they said, yes, send it back. We'll give you a brand new one. Sent it back, got a brand new one. So I did exactly what you're talking about here. And pretty much if you unroot it, you should not have a problem. And I say should because I suppose anything's possible in this world. They might see something that would clue them into the fact that it once was rooted. But I mean, at its core, if you're unrooting, you're taking away root access. Hopefully you're going back to a ROM that you can then, you know, maybe do a system update direct from the manufacturer that returns it to the place that it started. And it would be very hard for them to detect that anything happened. So yeah, you shouldn't have anything to worry about, Tanner. That's that.
All right.
Cool. So now here's the email for me, right?
Yeah.
Put this one in for me. This email comes from Devin, who says, I'm a Sony Google TV lover like Ron. Woo-hoo. Drink. I was wondering, could Ron do a short segment highlighting that even though the market is kind of sparse, the APKs from phone apps can be sideloaded via USB and Dropbox, etc. It's trial and error figuring out what works and what doesn't. A few apps I personally have had success with are the Amazon Market, Rockfire, Pocket Cast, SexTube Pro. To each their own. E-Wallet, Seismic, Slacker Radio, Launcher Pro, and the list goes on and on. I just want the masses to know that it's a great platform. Would hate to see it die because nobody knew how great it was. And that's a really good question. I mean, I haven't felt the need to sideload SexTube Pro yet. That's just me.
We appreciate your honesty, Devin.
We do. We really do, Devin. I mean, you got to keep it real. I respect that.
I love the honesty, yes.
Exactly. To go with the honesty, I have not experimented with sideloading apps yet. I was actually – my holiday break plans involved spending a lot of time on my Google TV and really working it. Up to this point, I've been happy with the apps that are there. It's been serving my needs. I mean, maybe not all my needs, but but
I'm
enough
sorry.
Of my needs.
That was just funny.
Yeah, and that I haven't had the need to sideload any, but I've been curious about can you download APKs from the Chrome browser and install them from there? Like you mentioned, loading from Dropbox, loading from a USB storage device. There are different ways. I mean, it's an Android platform, so if you can get the file on there, you should be able to install it. But like you said, you know, if you're going to run into basically the Google TV is just a very big tablet. And so you're going to run into some of those issues that we talked about earlier where the apps will run, they'll work, but they're phone apps and they're going to look very silly on your TV. Although I imagine a video app like SexTube Pro probably runs just fine. Because really, is it really about the UI in that case? No, it's about the content. That's what's important. Content is king.
That's all you got. that's all there is to that.
Yeah, so check in with me. Well, we'll check in after the new year, and I'll let you know some of my discoveries with futzing with it.
So. All right. It does kind of make me wonder about the Android experience on Google TV. Do you think, Ron, that we're going to start seeing a development community for Google TV versions of Android?
I really certainly hope so. I mean,
I'm talking like, you know, doing the ROMs and stuff like that, having different kind of front ends for all that stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the kind of the XBMC type crowd get a hold of it, start doing their own kind of, you know, not necessarily those people, but a similar developer group saying, hey, look, here's a platform that's pretty powerful. We could do some pretty cool stuff with it. I don't think the devices have gotten in the hands of the right people yet.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But
yeah, totally.
But
yeah. I'd love to see what other developers could kind of come up with, you know, just in the same way that they're creating just tons of really great ROMs for phones and tablets. So
exactly. And Devin, I just did a quick Google search. And so you don't need to sideload SexTube Pro because Vivid actually has a Google TV porn app now that's available. So you can just get the Vivid app and it's optimized for Google TV and you'll be all set with your needs.
There you go, Devin. See?
Yeah.
We're helping you here. Yep. All right. Eileen?
Well, moving on from Google TV.
By the way, I'm very proud of myself that I did not make a joke about sideloading SexTube Pro. I'm very glad I did not make a joke about
sideloading. The chat room is about to do that for you. All right, moving on. Oh, no, I don't see his name on here.
No.
Darn it. Hey, AAA, I just got a Samsung Galaxy Player 4 and was wondering if there's an SMS app I can use on it. I'd love to text my family and friends that have SMS on their phones, but I can't seem to find a decent app for my Wi-Fi-only device. Any ideas? Thanks, you. Thank you for sending that email. Guess what I have here? I have a Samsung Galaxy Player 4 as well in my hand. So I was able to kind of test it out for you who sent in this email. I'm so sorry. We don't have your name.
Signed the email B.
Oh, B.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, B. There you go. First of all, a couple apps you cannot download. Hansen and Chomp. I tried. Mostly because, I guess, because they think you need SMS, a telephone number. Right? Yeah, SMS. Yeah. But there were four apps that I did download. One was Text Plus, and you just create an account on there. Another one was Kick Messenger. A lot of people are using. And then GroupMe, and finally Haywire. Now, Haywire is interesting because when you sign up, they give you your own phone number that you could give to someone else. They create a phone number for you, so then you just basically can start texting anybody in their regular telephone or cell phone number, just like you would if you had regular SMS on your phone. This one works. I know it does because I tried it.
Did you not try WhatsApp?
I couldn't download WhatsApp.
Oh, really? So,
yeah,
so WhatsApp, because I knew WhatsApp does have, it ties into the to the contacts to the phone, so that's probably why it's blocked. Yeah.
Right. Hmm. And everybody here is saying Google Voice.
Yeah, definitely Google Voice.
But I didn't download that.
But that, you know, also Toronto Mario in the chat room is also, you know, pointing out obviously Google Voice US only.
There you go. Yeah. So Haywire, though, is international. So there you go. Yeah. And it's also free. The thing about GroupMe is that you need a phone number. In order to sign up, I believe you need a phone number. At least I put my phone number. Not quite sure if you could just sign up with Facebook or Twitter. And then the thing about it, too, with Kick Messenger and GroupMe and Text Plus, you got to get people. Well, Text Plus, I think you have a phone number, too. You got to get people to sign, especially with Kick Me and GroupMe. You got to get people to join those services.
Mm-hmm. That's always the sticky point for me. Yeah. It's like to expect everybody else to do what I just did. It's a tall order. You're never going to get everybody on.
Well, I know for sure with Haywire, you just sign up. Now you're going to get some ads on here, but you don't have to get your friends to sign up for Haywire. You can use it just like a regular SMS.
Yeah, or if if all your friends are on mobile devices, just taking Android for example, and I think there's an iOS Facebook Messenger app, but you know, you take a service like Facebook that almost everybody's on anyways, probably more people are on that than, you know, you might be able to talk into signing up for one of these other services. It's not true SMS, but it's as serviceable, and it's probably as, you know, most people are going to have that app on their phone anyways. So.
Right. So there you go, B.
There you go.
A bunch of B. Try a bunch of them and see which one works best for you.
That's
what
right.
I would say.
All right. Before we jump into the arena, we want to take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Netflix. Netflix streams thousands of TV episodes, movies directly to you instantly, which means you save time, money, and hassle. You can watch Netflix movies streamed on just a ton of devices, Xbox 360, PS3, Roku, Android, iOS, everywhere. On your computer, even. If you're just attached to your desktop computer, you can even stream it from there. You can watch a movie or a show on one screen and then transfer it over to another device and continue watching there. Whichever way you choose to access Netflix, you can watch as many of these shows and movies as you want at any time. And you can cancel any time as well. So try Netflix today for 30 days free, completely free. Go to netflix.com/twit and begin instant streaming, actually, movies and TV shows, and see what you think of the service. Be sure to use that URL, netflix.com/twit. We thank Netflix for their support of Twit and All About Android. We hope you enjoy watching all that free stuff.
And thank you for Gossip Girl, Netflix. I'm watching it now. Well, we talked about this in pre-show, right, Ron?
Do you want to thank Netflix or do you want to thank me?
Okay, I will thank you, Ron, but because it's streaming, I'm watching it. I'm watching more streaming media than I am. I don't really watch. I have these DVDs, and I don't use them anymore.
DVDs.
I know. Yep. I know. I got a gift.
I didn't know
last
time I watched DVD.
I got a gift of That's Friday totally Night Lights, serious. A DVD, but it's also on Netflix, the entire run. And I feel like I have to watch those first two seasons on DVD because I got it as a gift.
Mm.
But I really just want to turn on Netflix and go boom.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've watched something on Netflix where the DVDs are on the shelf, literally next to the TV, and I'm just on the couch, just boop.
It's kind of ridiculous how convenience trumps. In so many situations,
quality,
convenience trumps.
Sometimes, if your connection isn't that great, it's okay.
It's fine. It's right there.
It's
so easy to do. All right, let's step into the arena. Why don't we?
Two enter, one live. Android Arena.
Yeah.
So this is the one. This is the one we've been working towards.
This is it. It all leads to this.
Our favorite apps of the year.
That's right. We're not going to check in on the poll from last week because, we're recording this show on the same day as the episode you saw last week. But this week we decided to check out the favorite apps of the year. And I think the rule here was just it doesn't have to have been, released this year. We don't have to have included it in a previous arena. It's just, what do we like? What was our favorite app? What is one app that stands out above the others for each of us for the year? I don't even know which order
I'll
we
go
should
first.
Go in on this. Eileen's going to go
first.
What
the heck?
You teased yours already. So
I did,
well.
So I might as well go, right? My app is Pocket Cast, which is $2.99 in the Android marketplace. And I love it because of the UI. I love that icon of the old school mic there. We've had Shifty Jelly on the show before, and they had some issues with the Amazon App Store, if you remember. Take a look at that. It's a gorgeous UI. All of the thumbnails are really cool and placed really well. There's 10-second back, 30-second
that's
skip.
Pretty sweet.
You have to download Presto, which is another $3.99. I did that, and now I can listen to my podcast at 2x the original speed. And they have a really cool widget here. You can take a look at my phone here now. There's the episode. I don't have anything playing. But then once you go there, it launches the app. Let's see if I can get this straight here. And here are all my subscriptions. I was just listening to Breaking Bad earlier, and look, it picked up exactly where I left off, 18 minutes in. I like that quite a bit. Oh, I'm sorry. Chad wants need to have volume.
Audio.
Well, we're just listening. Can you hear that? It stopped, didn't it? Something happened there. It's not picking up the audio. That's okay. We don't really need it. It's fine.
It would be people talking under
us. So this is the Presto app that I download so I can listen to it 1.2x, 1.5x, 2x. That's available, again, for an additional $3.99, which I think is worth it. Then you could share your position in the episode, the podcast, the episode. I like that. If you're just like, oh, my God, this is so great, this episode of Breaking Bad Insider Podcast right here. Aaron Paul says blah, and I could share that with everybody. You can also, if I go into All About Andrew, you can just stream the episode or you can download the episode. Works either way. And they have a ton of selection on here. When you do a search, look at we were actually featured 1 week, so I'd like to thank them. But you could check out popular podcasts. Oops. Oh, no, my data connection. Podcast networks.
Yeah, your data connection
Data connection is off. Wah, wah. But you saw that earlier, actually. That's such a bummer. Anyways, you saw earlier Chad was showing you the tiles and what all of the selections look like. But there you go. Here's a little bit of video of searching. And there you go. There we are. All About Android. You can add really quickly. Listen. download or stream. I love this.
Shameless.
Who, me?
No, the them.
I know.
That we're the demo.
The demo. I love it. I love that we're the demo for their little promo. You could check for new episodes. You could, decide in settings how often you check for new episodes. You could automatically delete podcasts once you've listened to the episode. There's many, many, many settings here that really help you out. And I just think the experience is really good. I love the experience of listening to podcasts on this app, and kudos to Shifty Jelly for a really, really good app. So that's my app, Pocket Cast, for
it's a good app. I've switched to it. I'm a loyal Pocket Cast user, although I've been finding bugs left and right in it, but I'm not trying to bash your app. But like the widget doesn't always update. Like when I start playing in the app and then I turn the phone off, go back, the widget doesn't acknowledge that a podcast is playing. I have to go into the app. And I got into a little Twitter argument with the guys at Shifty Jelly over the use of the back button. But it's a great app and it's totally, I'm on board. And just the remembering where you were in the podcast is key. So,
All right. Cool. Well, who's next?
That's Pocket Casts. Ron, you want to go?
I'll go.
Okay, go.
Did anyone install my app on your phone by any chance or no?
I have your app somewhere. Hold on.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Well, my app, so my approach to it, when I looked at this, what is the best app of the year, I looked at all the apps. I said, okay, what apps have I tried to keep it within apps that in this year I adopted and started using a lot and found myself really being a app that I use nearly on a day-to-day basis, one that is crucial to the use of my phone. There were a lot of close runner-ups. Pocket Cast is one of them, but even though Eileen took it. Another one was WhatsApp, which is the messaging app that I mentioned earlier that I've been using a lot with my friends to save an SMS message. Another one was Uber and Zipcar, but mm-hmm. those are real kind of functional ones, and those are a lot of fun. But then I realized the one app that came out this year, which is a new app, which falls under the category of beautiful apps that we've been talking about. I think it's a well-designed app, and one that I've gotten a lot of multi-purpose use out of it has been Food Spotting. For those who don't know, Food Spotting was originally an app that rolled out on iOS and was available on iOS, and also they had a website where you can look at your profile and things like that. And it's a social network built around food. I'm a big I like to eat, as everyone can tell by my fat. So what Food Spotting, it's a multi-purpose application. What it can allow you to do is allows you to take photos of the food that you are eating, describe it, associate it with a place, and then upload it to Food Spotting so people can see what your food experiences have been. And that's just one aspect of it. It's that sharing aspect and self kind of expression. But then the other side of it is also it's a great discovery tool. So literally just this past Sunday, I was in Berkeley and trying to figure out a place to go to brunch. And I just pulled up Food Spotting and just started scrolling through the different pictures of food and found a good spot to go for brunch just based on seeing other people's food adventures. And it's really kind of cool. They've got a great infrastructure for Food Spotting. They have some badges. They have guides. They're starting to integrate deals. Like I know they've been working with Scout Mob. So if you scroll through the pictures, you should see the Scout Mob offer. But all in all, it's just like, and considering that this is year one for them in terms of the Android app, it's a really solid, fun to use application that I find myself using practically on a daily basis. So in terms of the apps that I think are well designed, it's free, so the price is right. And actually gives me enjoyment of using my phone and using the application. For me this year, it's been all Food Spotting. So,
wow. Awesome. I follow you on Food Spotting.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can.
Yeah, it's another one of those beautiful apps. Like, it yeah. just.
These
looks
bacon
great.
Cheeseburgers are really good.
Yeah, it took a while for them to do it because they wanted to do it right. Mm-hmm. And they're going in a bunch of different directions. Like in terms of, you know, like what you're looking at right now, that's kind of like the Instagram food kind of view, which is nice.
It's chocolate beignet is really good too.
That yeah. looks really good.
It's great because you can revisit these great meals you have. The only problem with it is that I feel bad pulling my phone out and taking a picture, especially at like a dark restaurant and the flash goes off and that sort of thing. But I get really excited to go to when I go out to eat with my friends and I get a really good dish and I want to share it. So, yeah.
I know. I do like to share. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Very nice. That's
so food spotting. It's free. Keep in mind it's free.
That's, you have that on me because my app is definitely not free. But it is an app that I use all the time. It's one of those apps that now that I'm getting like all these phones to review and everything, it's one of those first few apps I install just because I'm so used to having it on my phone. I have covered it in a previous arena, but I did install it and begin using it this year. So I figured it kind of fell in line, and it is Tasker. Without a sneeze. Let's see here. So Tasker, if you didn't see the episode that I featured this, I'll just kind of give you a very brief summary of what it is. It's a way to program your phone to do a whole lot of automation behind the scenes that allows you to do a number of things. Actually, at the beginning of this episode, we had an email from Doug in Pennsylvania about ways to improve your battery. And Tasker is a fantastic way to help you do this because when you think about it, just taking one scenario, right? Wi-Fi is fantastic on your battery if you're connected. If you're connected to a Wi-Fi signal, it's actually in many cases less battery drain than you might get if you were on like a 4G antenna, for example, right? But Wi-Fi when you're not connected to a signal can be worse for your battery because that antenna is constantly on. It's constantly searching and scanning, trying to find a Wi-Fi signal to connect to. Well, that's where something like Tasker can come in really handy. And so I'll show you kind of, I'll walk you through kind of the logic here. I'm going to add a task. Let's call it, I've already made it, but I'm going to call it work Wi-Fi. And what I want to do here is I want to say the state, which is essentially like, you know, let's determine a state that triggers this action, right? Location, that's what I wanted. So location, a new location, and it's going to pull up this map. I'm going to uncheck GPS because I don't want GPS to be part of this equation, because if it is, then the potential is that I'm pulling battery because my GPS is on, right? So I've left net checked. And essentially what this means is if I'm detected 30 meters around whatever point I select here through my carrier's just kind of basic broad detection, then my state will be triggered. So I'm going to go ahead and locate myself to within 30 meters. In fact, if I was going to do this, I'd probably widen it a little bit, put it to 600 meters and say within 600 meters of here, not requiring GPS on, if I'm with it this close to this place, then do this. I'm not going to name the context, but then I'm going to say if I'm that close, I'm going to add a context, and I'm going to say, where is my da-da-da-da-da-da-da? I'm totally overlooking it suddenly. Is it net? There we go. Net Wi-Fi turn on. So what I'm doing here is I'm saying if I'm within 600 meters of work without using GPS to determine where I'm at, turn Wi-Fi on. And that allows me to then not have to worry about turning on my Wi-Fi when I get to work, because I don't want it scanning for Wi-Fi before I get there, because that's a battery drain, right? I want it to only be on when I'm at work so it can connect. But then if you go back here, you can click the Wi-Fi on and add an exit task. So then now I'm saying if I get outside of that range, what happens? And I'll go ahead and add net Wi-Fi turn off. Right. So when I'm outside of 600 meters of work, it will recognize that and it will turn Wi-Fi off. Now, I'm going to go ahead and activate that, exit out, and I'll see up there in the notifications that it says it's active. Right. So now Tasker says work Wi-Fi. It has two of them because I have two of those tasks actually running. But from now on, this is working to kind of help save my battery. It really, that's just one example. I mean, I'm sure you saw just how much stuff you can pick from as far as contexts are concerned. You can tie it to time of day, time, application, state, event, all this stuff. The limits are really just your imagination as far as how you want to set this up. So Tasker, it's a super powerful program or app for your phone. It's $6.49. So it is a little bit more than your typical app, but I use it all the time. And just the longer you have it, the more you think of ways that you can use it. And there's a community online as well that kind of shares the different tasks that they've created. So check it out, Tasker. I use it all the time. I wouldn't be without it at this point. It's just that handy and can be found in the Android market. That's it.
That's expensive. That's an expensive app. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, $7. That's a lot.
Free.
Yeah,
but does your app save you battery life? Does it actually extend the life of your battery?
No, but it can extend the life of my evening by giving me a great meal.
Okay.
So, there you go.
You know, different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Yeah. Wow. Got a fight going on.
I'm curious to see how this goes here. So bit.ly/poll40AAA. bit.ly/poll40AAA. Why don't you go ahead and, vote and let us know what you think here.
Honestly, if I had to bet, I would put my money on Eileen.
Why? Really?
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot of podcast listeners.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, well, maybe Tasker. Right now, Tasker's got the early lead. So,
well, and a lot of people have been really set in their ways with Dog Catcher and Beyond Pod, I think. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to tell people about a new app that they should try out. That's all.
Well, I wanted to see the results, and you know how it forces you to vote to see the results? Yeah. I accidentally clicked Pocket Cast, so you get one vote for
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Dang it. But it does look like the early lead is Tasker. So we'll see where this all ends up. Yeah,
great, great end of year apps. I think that is it.
Oh my God. Did we finally come to the end of the second episode? Wow.
Yeah, two episodes back to back.
Oh, my coffee to get me through.
I know. I meant to get coffee, but I completely forgot.
Oh, yeah, you forgot. Well, you can. But while you edit, because you're still
I'm going to need it. I'm going to be here for a while. I've got a lot of shows to edit, not just All About Android, by the way. So we are returning with a new episode Monday, January 2nd.
What are we going to talk about? We're probably not going to be. I'm not going to be up on the news, are you?
Oh, I'll be up enough on the news.
But nothing's going on, though, around then, right? Early January, nothing in electronics is happening.
We'll see.
Right?
I mean, it'll be what it's going to be. I'm sure there'll be a few little things, and if it's a light episode, that's okay. You want to know why?
Yeah, let's have a light one.
Because the next week, we're going to be at CES.
Yikes.
And CES, Consumer Electronics Show. Yeah, it kind of hurts thinking about it, doesn't it? But there's going to be so much Android stuff at CES, so we're definitely having a show from the Twit stage at CES. If you happen to be at CES, definitely stop by and take a, you know, talk to us, say hello. We'd love to see you. I think it's South Hall, right?
Yeah, South Hall.
South Hall, bottom floor. We'll have a big Twit stage. But anyways, that is it for this week. Ron, plug-tastic. Plug away.
Yes, I will not be at CES, so you all can go enjoy yourselves.
I know. He's like, thank God. I don't blame you.
I know, exactly. Never again. But if you want to find out where I will be in January, you can go follow me on Twitter and on Facebook and on Google Plus and all those places. And you can find that at about.me/RonXO. There are links to all my various social media presences and spots on the web, as well as you can find links to my day jobs, the companies I work for, graphically.com, which is a great place for digital comics. We've got Android applications where you can read comics on your phone and tablet devices. And if you really do enjoy comics, you can go to our website, ifanboy.com, which is all news and podcasts and community. You can listen to the iFanboy podcast on Pocket Casts. So there you go. But yeah, and it's been a great year. I've had so much fun this year. I'm so glad that you guys have involved me in the show, and I'm looking forward to next year.
So. We're coming up on a year with this show.
I know.
We're coming up on a year when we started kind of our beta episodes.
Brainstorming. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Oh my God.
It's kind of crazy. It's been a good year.
I know, because it's this is 40. Ooh, 12 months. Yeah. Okay.
I know. It's gotten to the point now where I can't imagine Mondays without the show.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too. Totally. I have a blast doing this show. Yay. I think we all do.
Yay.
All right, Eileen, you go.
Okay. Well, just a quick plug. I've got the HTC Resound. I will probably review this on our next show. I'm going to spend some time on the break with it. I have to give up the Galaxy Nexus. I'm so sad. But hopefully maybe the Beats will keep me going on. Ha ha ha. And the beat goes on. But you can find me on Twitter at Eileen TV, or on everywhere about.me/EileenRose, or on G+ at
gplus.to/EileenTV.
That's my PR agent.
There you go. Yes.
Google Plus PR agent.
And the thing is, I always have to remember it. Like,
I know.
See,
you have to remember
it. Yeah. So
you have to remember it as much as Eileen would have to remember
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
All right. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Raygun01 or about.me/JasonHowell. And that is it for this week. No, this year of All About Android.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, you guys. Voicemails. Send us some voicemails. 347 Show AAA. You can send us an email, video mail. We'd love video mails. AAA at twit.tv. Hit us up on Twitter. The show can be found at Android Show. You can actually find us on Google Plus as well. Search for All About Android there. Show notes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. Thanks so much. It's been a fantastic year. We will see you guys next year. Have a happy and safe new year. And that's it. Take lots of pictures with your Android phone.
Happy New Year. New Year's. I'm going to collapse. And it goes
what,
black.
Was it all a dream? Was it all a dream?
Oh, my God. Did we record?
Oh, we still have to record? We still have to record
Scared
two episodes?
Crap out of me.